Mark 9, 38 to 50. Whoever is not against us is for us. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly be rewarded. And if any of you causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around your neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, draw close to each one of us now. Speak into the stillness of our hearts. May we hear your word and respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. It's been a while. When the team go out to speak about Christians Against Poverty and they go out to non-church groups, they're often asked the question, is CAP just for Christians? And of course, the answer to that is no, absolutely not. The only thing that connects the people we go to see is that they fall on hard times. They're in debt. They are ashamed. They can't feed their children sometimes. They're sometimes frightened to go outside because of debt collectors. Sometimes they don't even open their post because they're all red letters and they're frightened to answer the phone. Those are the kind of folk that we are going to. Their backgrounds don't matter at all. This is the one thing that connects them. Another question that we often get asked is, what is it that motivates you to do this? And one of the answers is, well, we do it because our God has a heart for the poor. God's word says that we should defend the cause of the weak and fatherless and maintain the rights of the poor and needy. We say we do it because we can get people out of debt to learn how to manage their finances going forward. Do you know, 96% of the clients who go through CAP never get into debt again. We do it because we can introduce them to our boss. Now, not John Kirkby, not that boss, but our Lord Jesus Christ, who made amazing claims about abundant life, about being the bread of life, about providing living water. Not only can the burden of debt be lifted, but the burden of past sin, if only they be willing to make Jesus the Lord or boss of their lives. No one is excluded. Now, in our passage that Jane read to us, the disciples saw a man driving out a demon in the name of Jesus. These are the same disciples, by the way, who Nigel told us about last week, who were too busy arguing about themselves as to find out who was the greatest. They were unable to see what was going on. They couldn't see the wood for the trees. But as Nigel pointed out to us last week, these people changed. And over time, they turned the world upside down through their witness and their fearless acts of faith. But that was later. At this stage, they're still very much apprentices. They've a lot to learn. They say, how could this man be a genuine disciple? After all, he's not part of our group. You can imagine a similar scene today, can't you? Sorry, mate, you can't get involved in spiritual warfare. You haven't got necessary health and safety certificates or permits to work with people. You've got to get your training first with us. John and the other apostles insist that he just has to stop. Their view was that only the close friends and followers of Jesus were allowed to engage in spiritual warfare. And Jesus, incredibly relaxed, isn't he? Incredibly relaxed. He says, well, what's the problem? Is he casting out demons in my name? Yes, he is. Well, he's not going to turn around and rubbish us after that, is he? He's definitely with us. He may not be in our group, but he's doing the work of extending the kingdom. And you know, sometimes we can fall into the same trap and consider our church or our group is better than some other group or some other church. It's easy to do that. We don't even realize we do it sometimes because we so enjoy the fellowship that we're part of. There are many other groups around, as we know, who are extending the kingdom of God in different ways to the way in which we do it. But over the centuries, the Church of England especially has not had a very good record with this. And if you remember John Wesley and how he went to preach at Pippinjay one Sunday in the 18th century, and the Bishop of Bristol had banned him from preaching in the church. So he preached in the churchyard, and thousands of people turned up to listen to him. William Booth was another one who upset quite a few people because they were extending the kingdom of God, but not in the traditional way. The great thing about CAP is this, or one of the great things, it denominations and background is totally unimportant. It does not matter. You see, our centre here covers a larger area than our parish. And we travel away, I think, to Kingswood and Brislington sometimes, and all sorts of places, down to Easton sometimes, yeah. Yeah, so we cover a very, very wide area. And the people that we meet live in those areas. If they want to go to church, they're not going to come here probably because it's too difficult to get here. They don't have transport, so they'll go to a local church. Is that a problem for us? I don't think so. It wasn't a problem for Jesus, and it isn't a problem for him now. Now, we've got someone here this morning who, by and large, attends a local church in Kingswood where she lives. That's fair enough. But her life has been completely changed by her introduction to CAP. I'm not going to ask Jane to come out, Jane Till, to come out and speak. I'll ask her a few questions. She was very worried. I'm sure she isn't really. Do you want to stand in front of there?
Thank you.
Jane, can you tell us a bit about your life? Because you haven't always lived in Bristol, have you? You moved back in, what, 2009, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. And what was your personal circumstances at the time?
My marriage broke down, so I thought it was easier to leave where I was living at the time and move back to Bristol, so I was near my family and, yeah.
Yeah, so, and you've got two grown-up daughters?
And a son, yeah.
And a son?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so everything was fine until your daughter got ill, I believe.
Yeah, my youngest, it's 5 years ago, this week gone actually, ended up in hospital. So I had to take time off of work, and what with parking, you know, at St. Michael's and that, it cost a fortune. And things just started going downhill from there, really.
Yeah.
So
you got into debt, really, to just maintain your standard of life to keep things going, because your job had gone.
Yeah.
So how did you first hear about CAP?
I'd gone with a neighbour of mine to a local community flat in Kingswood, and by chance, I met Mark Rich, and we had quite a long chat, Mark, didn't we? And Mark offered to put me in touch with Christians Against Poverty, and I think Mark actually made the appointment for me, didn't you? So, that was how I first heard about it.
Okay, so who came to visit you when CAP came along?
Jane.
I thought it might have been. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Jane.
Yeah. 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 And how did that conversation go?
It was difficult. To be honest, I don't really remember it fully because I was embarrassed. I felt ashamed for the position that I was in, and I wasn't half the person that I am today. And I couldn't look at you, Jane, could I, for a long time. Jane had to actually say to me, you know, you've got to look at me, we've got to work together. Yeah, because just the way I felt within myself, I didn't even recognise myself in the mirror in those days.
Right. So you signed up for CAP, yeah. and what then happened as a result of that?
Well, look at me now, haven't you? Right, so I had a budget plan made out from CAP and went through that. And then it was the 10th of December, I remember this day, it was the 10th of December, Jane brought my plan round. And Jane said, well, it's almost Christmas. If you want to wait till January, then you can, you know, because of Christmas. And I said, well, no, I said, because Christmas is going to happen whether I've got money or not. And so the following day, I paid my money in, and that was my first step to getting out of debt. I'm still going, but I'm getting there, and I will get there. So
excellent. Well done. Well done. And so you started going to a church in Kingswood.
Yep.
And you heard a few things there, didn't you, that actually changed your life a bit? You know, various things each week. Things
Lots of things.
Yeah.
In the first few weeks, I'd get a text on a Sunday from Mark to say, it's open door, come to church. And I didn't for a few weeks. And then one day, I got up one Sunday and I said, I'm going to church. And Mark went there that week. It's great. Yeah, so off I went to church. And it's just progressed from there, really. And the first few weeks, they were so important to me. I felt as though I was the only one in that congregation. And all the talks were for me personally. It was amazing.
Yeah. So you believe that really, not only are you working to get out of debt, but that God has actually come into your life and changed your whole outlook?
Definitely.
So you would call yourself a Christian now?
Yes.
That's fantastic, isn't it? And what sort of things have you got involved in since becoming a Christian?
Okay. Where do I start? Right, so from my first initial meeting and from going to church, I do knitting to raise money for CAP, little penguins and robins and Christmas hats that were hopefully in the foyer last year, Jane, wouldn't it? And so I'm on target now to increase in that number for this year. And I've become a befriender with CAP. I've been on a CAP release group and give up smoking, which is amazing. I've been on the CAP money course.
Yeah.
And I just like to help others, give back a bit, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. So what you're really saying is your life from, say, 2 years ago to now is just completely different. You've just changed totally.
110%, yes.
And you did tell me a little while ago your mother's got a view on that. What does she think about it?
Oh, mums are proud of you anyway, aren't they? But my mum is really, really proud of me now. And she says to me, I wish I could feel a little bit like you do. And I said, but she can.
Yeah, man.
She can.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I think that's it. Thank you ever so much, Jane.
Well, thank you. And thank you, everybody.
Yeah, brilliant. Isn't that great? I think that's a perfect example of what can happen with CAP. And I know that hundreds of people become Christians every year through this particular ministry. And it's a wonderful thing that it is. Now, since we started in April 2008, God has really undertaken for this. He's called us to do it. And since then, we've had four different centre managers. Originally, we had Sally, then Annette, then Hillary, who's retired recently, and Jane. And all of them felt a call by God to do this work. I know at least two of them said straight away, no way am I going to do this. But they couldn't sleep. They kept thinking about what they were going to do. And eventually they gave in and said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. There was a definite call. And also I'd just like particularly to thank Mark, who was mentioned just now, for being here for the past year and working with us as a debt coach. It's been great having you on board. But Mark has felt the call from God to go to Bible College in Horsham. And I believe it starts in, October? A couple of weeks' time. Yeah. So he's ready to go. It's been wonderful to have him here. And I'd like to thank Mark especially. I mean, Jane obviously has already. But I'd like to thank you particularly for what you've been doing for us. So thank you. The great thing about this work is that we started with nothing, just a vision. And then over the years, God has provided us with so much. We've had office accommodation, no problem there. Over the 7 years, we've raised £150,000 without any money coming out of the general fund of the church. £150,000. And that has come from people who've made sacrificial gifts, people who belong to this congregation, who've gone out of their way to put money into the work of CAP locally. We've also raised money from local trusts and also other organisations. But it's incredible how God can provide. If you have the vision and it's what he wants, then the money will come for anything you want to do, if it's what God wants. Church members here, bless you all, have been stirred to become befrienders. They've been stirred to help in the office, to provide food parcels, to deliver those food parcels, to become members of the prayer team, to get involved in the money courses. People have felt the Holy Spirit prompt them. And there may be a few people here today who are feeling prompted by the Holy Spirit to get involved. Do speak to Jane and Jane after the service. Is this a whole church activity? Yes, it is. I think we've helped. The last statistic I saw was that more than 100 families have been helped by this centre. 50% of those families are now out of debt. It's incredible stuff, isn't it? 20 or so families have been given a free holiday where they've been able to hear the good news about Jesus. And some, such as Jane, have become Christians. In all of this, we can see the kingdom of God growing as more people come to know him and whose lives are changed from within. And as I said earlier, every year, hundreds and hundreds of people become Christians throughout this nation as a result of the work of CAP. Going back to our passage, I suspect you wondered when I'd get there. Jesus wants to see the expansion of his Father's kingdom through transformed lives. He sees his disciples as a potential stumbling block for others. And he uses very strong language to make his point. His vivid metaphors about millstones around necks, cutting off hands and feet, and gouging out eyes are enough to grab the attention, aren't they? Is it really that serious? Well, I think Jesus thinks so. And I think the disciples realized afterwards how serious he was. The thing is, have we ever unwittingly excluded or discouraged anybody by our thoughtless words and actions? We had a great prayer of confession earlier on, which I think reminded us all that if we're selfish, if we want to do things our way, we can sometimes put people off, perhaps young Christians, new Christians, who are just beginning to make their way. Some of you will have heard this story before, but when, and I apologise for that, when Mara and I first came to this church in 1979, we had three boys. Our oldest was 8, our middle son was 6, and our youngest boy was 3. And we came and sat in a traditional 11 o'clock Anglican service here, when everybody was, well, of a certain age. And in those days, we had the delight of the doors on the ends of the pews. Do you remember those? And the boys liked those as well. And so, during the service, there are a fair number of bangs and crashes. Remember, this is the first time we've been to this church. And so, what do we get? People talking about, shh, shh. So, we thought, oh, well. So, we went out and we thought, well, we felt God was leading us here, but that wasn't a particularly good start. Except, somebody came out after us, lovely lady, who no longer comes to this church, she's moved away. And she said, do you know, she said, we were thinking of starting a creche. Would you like a creche for your 3-year-old? We said, yeah, would you do that? Oh, yeah, we would. And there is a Sunday school and run by Grace. And would you like your older boys to go in there? And we said, well, yeah, that'd be great. And, you know, that completely changed our view of this church. Isn't that amazing? So you can, if you look at that and you think, well, that affected us, I'm sure other people can have similar stories, that you've been blessed by someone from this congregation who's gone out of their way to help you. And this is what Jesus is getting at. He's saying it's so easy to put people off. But isn't it wonderful if you can really encourage them? And he goes on at the end to talk about salt. Don't lose your saltiness, he says. Allow the salt to change you. Then you will be at peace with one another. You will live with one another. Everybody will be welcome. Because the kingdom of God is far greater than Downend, it's far greater than the UK. The kingdom of God is throughout. And they are all with us, aren't they? Amen? They're all with us. All of them. All those people who love and serve our Lord in whatever way they wish to worship him. So have we lost our saltiness? Do we need to be renewed? If we do, why not ask Jesus to be our boss or Lord of all of our life, not just the parts that we want to give over to him, every aspect of our lives? There's an opportunity to pray afterwards. The prayer team will be here. If you feel that you want to hand over your life totally to Christ, then why not do it today? If you're holding back on anything, let it go. Give your life to him. Have your life changed. You will know life in all its abundance. You will know that life. You will know and the bread that will mean you'll never get hungry again, and you will experience the water of everlasting life. Amen.